Duck's new report by Lucy Ellman was one of the six finalists on the Booker shortlist this year. And it follows one Ohio woman's ruminations about her children, her relationship with her husband, the Civil War, and then there's sections on folding clothes, healthcare, memory, dreams, Anne Shirley, lemon drizzle cakes. The novel is just a few sentences long, stretched over 1,000 pages. Lucy Ellman joins me from Edinburgh. It's great to talk to you on The Book Show.
Great to talk to you.
Lucy, where did this story start for you?
Well, it's born out of total despair, I guess, and anger. Some of that I tried to tone down a bit to create my narrator. So I restrain myself from my usual rants and things. But she's more unhappy than angry, exactly.
And what is the source of your despair?
Oh, everything, but... some specific things are the collapse of the environment and the election of Trump. And the book is based in 2017, right after he took office. And it was always in reaction to that, partly.
And how did you find this voice, this inner voice of your narrator, a woman in Ohio, who's thinking about the cost of healthcare and the cost of living and her husband and her missing daughter?
I think it's really fascinating to know what people are thinking about. And she's sort of a representative of humanity for me. She's not necessarily the most fascinating person herself, but I think... how people think is fascinating, and I wanted to explore that. So I had a lot of fun thinking about how the brain really works and how you may think you're thinking about something serious, and the next minute you're wondering if you flushed the loo, or it's raining and there's a bird outside, and you have to do this and that today, and you have to do this and that in the next 5 years, and you have done this and that in your whole life. And all of this comes together in a jumble, which one's constantly trying to sort out. And I just thought, well, that's pretty interesting material there.
But here you are exploring the inner life of another woman in detail, I might say, in an expansive way. How did you get into her head? Which is your head.
Well, it's not exactly my head, no. But I used myself in some ways, and I guessed at things, and I added things I wanted to put in about her. And the main thing was not to spoon feed the reader. I'm sort of tired of conventional narrative. I know many people aren't, so I'm sorry about it, but I am. And I wanted to see if I could convey a story without saying this happened and then that happened. You have to figure it out from what she thinks about. And some of the time, she's not thinking about the direct progress of her life right then and there. But eventually, I think you do get a sense of things going on during the sort of 4 or 5 months in which the book takes place.
And what is it about the conventional narrative that you're sick of?
I just think it seems childish to me now. I think we're all more sophisticated than that, and we don't need so much direction. I think real readers are kind of hungry for something more adventurous.
Shall we dive into the adventure? Can you read from your book?
Sure.
This is just from the beginning.
Almost the beginning.
Almost beginning. We'll come to that.
The fact that the raccoons are now banging an empty yogurt carton around on the driveway. The fact that in the early morning stillness it sounds like gunshots. The fact that even in fog, with ice on the road and snowbanks blocking their vision, people are already zooming around our corner. The site of many a minor accident. The fact that a guy in a pickup once accidentally skidded into our garage, and next time it could be our house or a child. The fact that a pickup truck killed Dilly. The fact that she'd successfully dodged cars for 3 whole years. The fact that she knew all about cars. But during that time, the traffic grew. The fact that it's crazy now. The fact that after Dilly got killed, the kids painted a big warning sign with a big black cat on it and stuck it right by the fence. But nobody notices it. They're all going too fast to see it. The fact that failure to yield causes 1 in 5 accidents in Ohio. The fact that car crashes are up 20% since 2009. Haw tree, buckeye, black walnut, hickory, butternut. The fact that Stacy's old enough to handle the road, but the other kids aren't. The fact that a little boy was killed in his bed just the other day by a skidding car crashing into his house, Ben asleep upstairs. The fact that there are 2 cardinals right now in the lilac tree, brown sugar. The fact that 11% of Americans carry on driving when the fuel tank empty light comes on. 11%! The fact that, boy, you'd think it'd be like 80%. Ronnie, chicken feed. The fact that there are macrophages. The fact that I dreamt I flew all the way to India to get a teaspoon of cinnamon, but when I got home, I realized I needed flaked almonds, too.
Great reading. Thank you so much, Lucy Ellman, reading from her Booker Prize shortlisted novel, Ducks, Newburyport. Lucy, there's this constant refrain that we heard there, the fact that it's almost incantatory. Why do you keep returning to it?
It became a frame to hang the one long sentence on, the book is made up of. It started as a sort of despairing sentence that I just wrote one morning, actually. I think it gives a sense of suspense because you don't know how this sentence is actually going to end. And that doesn't happen till the book ends. And in a way, it also serves as punctuation because I don't use full stops in this sentence. And in fact, I refrain from using a lot of punctuation, like question marks and colons and there are a few quotation marks, but that's about it. And it's mainly commas, plenty of commas. But I thought it actually helps the reader pause if they need to when you get to another the fact that. So it's almost like a full stop.
Do you think there's a particular type of reader who will dive into it? As you said, you're hoping to find readers who want something different.
I think anyone can read it. I wish people read more books, and I hope anyone would give it a try. I don't see who can't read it. There are some men who say they don't have enough muscle strength in their arms to pick it up because it's a big book. But, you know, they could do some exercises beforehand, and maybe they would be up to it in the end.
You think it's men particularly who are having trouble picking it up?
Yes. Well, there was a woman, a female reviewer, who said her handbag had been stretched by my book. And I have to say, I'm glad.
Lucy, as we inferred earlier, the section that you read is from the beginning of the monologue of your narrator. But there's a section before that, which is actually an introduction to a short story that's threaded throughout this novel, about a mountain lioness who's searching for her cubs that have been taken from her. Why did you interweave these two stories?
I was always intending to write about an animal mother and a human mother. And it's very difficult to write about animals in a plausible way. And in the end, you just have to go with what you like writing and hope for the best. What I wanted to do with the lion bits was to have a total contrast, for one thing, to the human world. And I think it's the animal world has a dignity too, which humans don't. And they're profound, they're emotional beings, and they have an understanding of nature. Unfortunately, maybe not evolving fast enough to keep up with our destruction of it, but they have a deep, ancient feeling for nature, which I admire, and I wanted to look at that. That the subplot is, it weaves in and out of the other plot.
Yes. It's
not exactly an independent story.
Yes, so your narrator says the fact that the one thing the Trump administration probably does like about this lion story is that it's distracting people from the Russia business. That's just an example. There's other examples where the lion pops up through the narrative particularly.
Well, this human mother is naturally absolutely terrified of having a mountain lion in the vicinity. And I'm sorry about that, too, that there's just so little ability to live together with nature anymore.
So this is your own sort of lion roar, perhaps, about this situation?
Yeah, and I think there is a potential lioness, yes, in all women. I'd like to hear them all roar as soon as possible.
What changes would you like to see?
Oh, matriarchy immediately, before the whole of nature is ruined. I think it's the only answer. And men, of course, won't give up power easily. I don't know what to do about them. Why can't they just drink beer and shut up?
That's a great solution, Lucy. How do you think the men of the world will react to this?
Slowly. And probably not gently enough either. I want a nonviolent revolution which places women in power.
I won't hold my breath. Was that part of the purpose of writing this novel, exploring this woman's inner life to center her thinking?
Yes, to give her a central position in the world. Yeah, I guess so.
And how?
I think women are pretty interesting and rarely explored enough. Motherhood, too.
Lucy, to write this novel must have taken a lot of discipline to stay on the course of this one narrator. How did you know when it was finished?
Yes, it was very hard to stop, really. But eventually, you get to a point where you think, if I keep working on this, I'm going to start to wreck it. And that's when you have to stop.
Well, Lucy Elman, congratulations. It's been a real treat to talk to you today.
Oh, you too. Thank you.
Duck's new report is published by Text. You're on The Book Show. I'm Sarah Lestrange.